You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Now, Jacqueline, before I read this one, I don't want you getting all excited and giggling and shit, because I know how you get.
What?
What's up, Rod? You're early again.
What's happening? I'm just trying to get a promotion.
You're back to it. Now hiring. James Corden is stepping down from the Late Late Show on CBS. There are no decisions yet on who will replace Corden.
Really? None. Any ideas, maybe?
He the motherfucker just put in his paperwork, and they've got a year. So, no one's going to fucking...
Come on, man. This is the internet,
you don't replace a motherfucker.
According to the internet, James Corden should be replaced with Roy Wood Jr.
All right now.
That's not what the article said. That's bad.
I'm not talking about that article. I'm talking about the people.
Suggested a no.
The people.
Thank you.
The people don't make the decisions. I'm telling you about the article. The article named a number of people. It wasn't just me. And after what y'all did to get me all hype about Jeopardy, and I actually tried to replace Alex Trebek in Jeopardy and got crushed, I'm not letting y'all do that to me again. I'm not putting my name in there.
This one ain't our fault.
I think you can get it.
My self-esteem can't take it.
You should go out for
it. My self-esteem can't take it.
I want to see you doing carpool karaoke in an 83 Cutlass Supreme.
What? Stop the show. My name is Roy. This is my job fair. Happy Wednesday to you. JG, you are the white blood cells to keep the show pure. How are you doing today?
I'm well, and I would just like to note that I like eastward facing offices. I just want to put that out there.
There are a million decisions that go into this type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, would it be cool to be considered? Of course. That would be cool.
Okay,
but I'm not finna sit here like y'all don't see. I don't think y'all understand, Rod. I don't think you was on when these motherfuckers set me up last year when Alex Trebek died, and they was like,
I remember,
"You could do
I remember
it.
That.
You should call your agent."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Y'all really think? Y'all think I should do it?"
Even though I'm clearly the resident weed head here, Rod, I'd like you to also point out that when he did go for Jeopardy, you were right there encouraging him along with me and JG.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
100%.
Okay, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because
he could do it.
Where
the fuck is that email? Because I'm going to reread it to y'all verbatim because I want y'all to feel the pain.
It just said, nigga, please.
Oh, it did.
Two words. That's it.
It did not.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Here's the statement from Jeopardy's producers last year when I put my name in the hat to replace that host and was crushed. Quote from this is from my agent to be, quote, "Hey Roy, it's all closed up. A statement's going out soon that the remaining episodes will go to Ken Jennings and Mayim Balik." Blossom.
Blossom.
The producers decided in the end to not focus on anyone with comedic backgrounds because they felt it would take the brand in a direction away from the academia and serious tone.
No, we brought that one up late.
Basically, you gonna fuck up the seriousness of this show with your goofy ass jokes. We ain't got time for your goofy shit.
How do I negotiate a bathroom in my office? Somebody tell me that. But go ahead.
Every room has a bathroom employment if terms. You want it bad enough.
Oh,
that's all it is.
That's like the old Ron Funches joke. All cookie dough is edible if you ain't a pussy.
That's real. That's how you get the bathroom. Like, they don't give you an office in the bathroom. You just start pissing and shit on the floor till they move you.
Right. And eventually, man, somebody got to give Jacqueline a bathroom. And y'all see her office? Man, we got to do something.
What I'll say about the Late Late Show is that, you know, Craig Ferguson was there and then James Corden.
Okay.
And if we're talking about following trends, then I need to develop a British accent.
You do not.
Do it.
You need to start watching Top Boy. Stop watching Top Boy and then just memorize everything.
So periodically through this episode, as this podcast goes along for the next couple of months, because you never know who's sneaking and listening and sizing me up and shit, right?
We're in the Cockney
on. So let's move on, Roy, to Cody's most outstanding, yeah? I guess the reason why I was trying to push past that Corden shit is that this is actually a very... Rod, I'm actually happy you're here for this one. Because this one is complicated. In an unprecedented move, the new volleyball head coach at Grambling State University cut the entire team. Chelsea Lucas was hired to guide the team, and less than 2 months after starting, she informed all 19 players that they can get the hell on and their scholarships have been rescinded. And she is bringing in quality players. Now, there's a lot to unpack here, JG, because on the education tip, I do not condone taking an education away from kids. And here's what she also did.
Oh, the scholarship.
Not only did she cut those 19 players, she told the players that the previous coach, players who had already signed a letter of intent to come to Grambling, she was like, nah, I don't even want you either. Oh. What the fuck did I do, coach? I wasn't even there. Coach Lucas has also been supported by her athletic department. Grambling State Athletics Communications Director Brian Howard said, quote, the decision is her decision to make, and she's got some quality players coming on board. So in terms of things, I hate to say out with the old and in with the new just a little bit. It's very unfortunate, Jacqueline. It's a very unfortunate situation, and the players have said, you know, and there's a petition going around demanding the reinstatement of the 19 players to the roster, as well as the firing of Lucas and the AD. The petition sits at about 3,000 signatures right now. The players are arguing that they were only from the time the coach came in and came in to assess the existing players, they were given less than 3 practices to show what they could do. And the coach called them all in the office one by one and cut them. And then there's other people saying that it was 5 players that she cut. And then because of the way the other players reacted to those 5 being cut, the coach was like, well, all y'all can get it. And all y'all can get the fuck on.
I love it. I love it.
I support this.
Really? Whoa, come on.
I actually support it too, Roy.
I support this.
This reminds me of Paul Bear Bryant and the Junction Boys at Texas A&M back in the 50s.
I don't know that, but okay.
Break it down, it down.
Before Bear Bryant became the superstar, super national championship legendary coach at the University of Alabama, he got the job at Texas A&M. And what he did was Texas was experiencing this heat wave at the time. So he took the team that was terrible, and he took them all to Junction, Texas, and had a camp for a little over a week. And said only the survivors of the camp would make the team. Everybody had to earn their fucking place. He had no more room for losers on his squad. No more room for the old losing ways. And I feel like this is what this volleyball coach is doing. And I like that idea. The team is terrible. They brought in a new coach. You got to go all Bill Parcells. I only want players on my team that I evaluated and I picked. Everybody get the fuck out, and if you're good enough, you can come back. And if you're not, you know, you get a scholarship to some other HBCU since you're so damn good.
Player who requested anonymity because of her situation with the team said, quote, I don't understand how she evaluated us when we were running all the time. We would start a drill, but if we messed up, we would run or do push-ups. It was more punishment than actual practice.
Sounds like they were terrible at running.
We didn't get to show her. We didn't get to show her any of our skills.
If you can't run, why would I want to see anything else you could do if you can't damn run?
No.
Come on, I'm with you. Like, they're complaining about that kind of stuff, which is what you do when you play college sports. That's kind of what it is. If she didn't see the form and all that kind of stuff, crash the whole thing and start over. Why not? I mean, make the kids. I agree with Rod on this. There's a lot. And the kids are soft. I said it. Kids are soft.
This woman is a CEO, volleyball coach or not. She has watched the tapes before she walked through any door.
Exactly.
She knows what you're made of before you walk through any door. She already knew that she was going to keep a few of you, but then the rest of you want to act a fool? No, you got to go too. I support her wholeheartedly. I will buy tickets to the game and won't even go just to support her.
Exactly. That's why they got a new coach, because they did that.
Bingo.
To that coach.
They bet, yeah. They had a losing season. They had a losing season overall last year at 8-9, and they had a losing record in their conference at 5-6. I think you're right. She might have kept some of them, but even the numbers don't, their numbers from last year are even bad. Like, she had all right to cut them, as far as I'm concerned. That's part of the deal.
I believe in education. I truly, truly do. So go open that portal and move on. You just learned a lesson. Always bring your A game.
This ain't like it was back in the day where if you transfer from one school to another school, you had to sit a year. You don't even have to do that anymore. Now you can transfer and instantly play the next year. So ultimately, if y'all are really that nice, you know, I'm pretty sure there's some school that'll take you.
3-1, I'm sorry. Like, she remains my CMO, but I don't agree with cutting everybody, because what does that say to the new group of players that you're recruiting in there? It feels irrational. It feels dictatorial. It's controlling. It's impulsive. But it is also courageous. Mm-hmm. Because even if you don't agree with what she is doing, at no point has Coach Chelsea Lucas kowtowed to the opinions of anybody. Not the parents, not the players, not the fans of Grambling. And if your name is going to be on it, then if I'm driving this ship, then goddamn it, we going to crash it the way I want to crash it with my players. Mm. I'm not saying she should have cut all these players, but for cutting everybody on the team, what the fuck did the towel boy do to you, Coach Lucas? The towel boy ain't done nothing. And did it to their face, one by one.
2 months into the job.
She didn't do it over email. She didn't fucking just have the AD send them a slide, a little letter under their door. Hey, baby, come on down to the office. Coach want to see you. Fired them like NFL Hard Knocks to their face.
Classic pink slips in the locker.
Support her.
No, none of that coward shit. Come in my office, sit here, and I'm going to tell you that you getting the fuck out of this goddamn. Turn in your volleyball shorts. Grambling State University volleyball coach, Chelsea Lucas.
Yes.
You are
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Yay! Shout out to Ms. Congrats. Congratulations.
Go Tigers.
Hang on. I didn't say clap for it. Worse than first time. Now, it's been a while since we didn't had a two-time on the show, JG. The two-timer. The two-time club on the job fair is a very illustrious fraternity where we allow people who drop so much knowledge the first time that we had to bring him back to say some more shit. Bomani Jones in the two-time. Carrie Champion in the two-timers club.
Yes.
Uncle Derek in the two-timer club. Not racist Susan.
Not racist Susan.
In the two-timer club. We got to get Dead Body Sue back on. I want Dead Body Sue back. We keep bringing that up. But this woman.
Oh, man. Little feet. Little sailboat. 6'5".
Yeah, little sailboat. So we had this woman on back when we was doing Women's History Month.
Yeah.
And, you know, this wonderful judge has just taken everything that is wrong with the criminal justice system and tried to slowly just be a conduit of change. And she has a book that I want to talk to her about. But more importantly, you know, she got a little worse in first action, too. You just can't come in here and talk about your stuff. You got to leave a little breadcrumb of job dysfunction as well. JG, who do we have as a newly minted two-timer?
Today, we welcome back Judge Victoria Pratt to the show. Her book, The Power of Dignity, comes out May 10th. She's here to talk a bit about her book, which centers around criminal justice reform. But first, she'll be sharing a scam story that involved an employee building a makeshift door to her cubicle.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty worse job. Judge Pratt, welcome back to the job fair.
Thank you so much for having me back. So, yeah, this story reminds me that as leaders, we should take a deep breath when things are happening that make us want to explode. At the courthouse, I was doing a lot of traffic cases for some reason, and I kept getting these computer printouts and not the actual tickets. And it was very frustrating because that meant I knew the tickets were in the building, but I wasn't disposing of tickets on the original document that was just now floating around the courthouse and not being able to be filed because I'm doing these printouts. So I sent the court director on a mission, go get me these tickets. I need you to find out why I can't get these original tickets. And what we found out was that one of the clerks who was responsible for these tickets had gone on vacation and had brought from their house a large cardboard box and created a door in their cubicle.
No.
What's the problem? I hear what you're saying, Judge, respectfully. Yes. And I respect what you do and you work in criminal justice and everything. But why I can't have a door in my, I'd have put a roof on that thing.
Because that's not what a cubicle is. That's not an office.
Correct.
You don't get a door.
Are you the homeowners association? Are you in charge of what color I paint my mailbox?
Mm. The boss tells you whether you get an office or whether you get a cubicle. And the problem with you putting a door on your cubicle is that on top of having the cardboard door, she wrote a note to the employees, do not come in here and touch my stuff.
Oh my gosh.
The reality is that nothing that you have at your job is your stuff. It is, mm-hmm. They were work tickets. And it led me to understand that they were having a problem in this department. But what was most interesting was that her colleagues were respecting this big cardboard box as a door.
As they should have.
Your Honor, does she look like me?
Yes, but she's not supposed to have a door.
You better respect that door. I got that.
Listen,
you want a roof?
You were clearly highly respected. Cory Booker did the foreword to your book. So mm-hmm. I don't want you to think I'm coming at you disrespectfully, but there is clearly some level of employee dispute happening. when a motherfucker make a door, there is a bigger office culture issue, and there needed to be a group meeting to go, hey, why does she feel like she needs a door? Why are you mad at me for having a door? Ask them. See, the problem is y'all.
And that's exactly what I did. I learned that because I was trying to figure out why is no one bringing these tickets? And it was because they were behind this paper door that was not real, and nobody would. Like, if you pushed them, it would have. Yeah, because it didn't have a knob or anything. It would have just toppled over, and I could have gotten my stuff.
She made a hut like a first-year-old, like a first grader.
She made a cubicle yurt. Like, I need my space.
You know, you took the sheet and the couch cushion real tight, and then you pulled that sheet to the other side.
The baby seat. Like, just.
I mean, they could have gone over the top and gotten my tickets for me, but nobody would move this cardboard. It was immovable, and it was
mental too.
It also says a lot about whether you want to call it the respect or the fear that these office mates had for this one individual. If you could have just pushed the door open, she might have been. I don't know. I personally, I'm always afraid of in the office. I'm always afraid of the quiet ones and the little ones. Those are the ones who do something real crazy. So, like, to me, she might have been. You know, somebody might have pushed the door once and caught her rads. And that was enough for everybody else to be like, hey, don't you go touching that dough. Don't you go touch that dough.
If you make a door in the office, there's something mentally not connecting. I'm not going to bother your door either.
And I ain't touching it.
Yeah, this is way past putting your name on the food in the fridge.
Right, and then she had a nerd to put a sign on the dough too? Like, come on, Judge.
I mean, I think that you're right. There was a bigger issue of how people were getting along, and we needed to address that and not so much that there was a door there. But the
no, you got to address the door too.
You got to address the door. You did right. I would agree.
We had to address the door. We had to address the door.
So what happened?
We took down the door. I mean, the stop calling it a door. It's a cardboard box. I took down the box.
Keep going in the
box. It was just a flattened box. Move that. Move that.
She came in like a landlord. You can't right. make it no changes you know to what? The apartment.
That's exactly how I felt when you do, yes, when you change the landlord's door and or you add See. Something and you didn't ask mm-hmm. for it.
Does she still work there?
Yes, and she understood. But it was this issue that she felt her privacy was being invaded and that when she was on vacation, she was further concerned. But there was work there. So, you know, for me, I don't bring anything to work that I can't put in a small box if somebody tells mm-hmm. me to go home. A yes. tiny box. And because everything else here belongs to you and you get to go through it. So I don't
well,
bring.
Judge.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't do that? You bring all your personal stuff to work?
I do, Judge. I ain't going to lie. I make my area real personal. I need like 2 good boxes to take my stuff out. I ain't gonna lie to y'all.
In my Daily Show office, I have a bottle. I shouldn't say this, but I have a bottle of Johnny Walker Black from when we first premiered in 2015. I have a Nintendo Classic video game system for when I'm brainstorming. Mm-hmm. And just a couple of books. Judge, let's talk about the book as quick as we can here as well. I would assume that this story is not one of the stories that made it into the book. The book is The Power of Dignity, How Transforming Justice Can Heal Our Communities.
Yes.
We spoke in the past, if you want to hear the judge's episode, go back to the Women's Week number 4, called We as Women's is the episode. And, you know, you talked a lot about how you chose to go about your job differently and how you adjudicate it. Defendants. Tell us a little bit about the book and what inspired you to write this.
So the book is about my time at the Newark Municipal Court as mm-hmm. a judge in the arraignment court and also running the community court, offering alternative sentencing and having a staff that could address the issues that people came to court with and that they come to court throughout the country with. And as I travel globally, that they come through and you see throughout the world as well, mm-hmm. which is this idea that we criminalize social ills like poverty, being poor cannot be a crime, but it is, and how the criminal justice system impacts women differently and it impacts women differently because women end up being responsible, bearing most of the financial burden, and particularly Black poor women as yes. well, and how people of color, Black and brown people, are disproportionately run through the court system. So as a woman whose father was a garbage man and mother was a Dominican beautician, I didn't see the people who came through the court different than myself, right? Mm-hmm. They were people whose story, I think one of my issues is that we punish people because we have this insatiated desire to punish people in the criminal justice system as opposed to rehabilitating. And we punish them for making bad decisions. And most of the times there aren't any other decisions for them to make, right? If you have, you're suffering from mental illness and you can be jailed for being disorderly, well, I'm having a psychotic break and you've just made that illegal.
I'm just hungry, I'm a child, so I'm stealing food, yes.
Yes, or I'm 18 years old, so I'm going to do things that are silly because I'm 18 years old. Or marijuana is illegal, but you are policing a particular area of the city that is Black greater than any other. So the chances that you stop people who have marijuana on them in one side, it's not, I don't believe it's that one side smokes more marijuana than the other. I just think that if you stop enough people who are Black in this area, again, in Newark, you know, 85% of the unconstitutional stops they found were of Black people, and Black people make up 53% of the population. So the book talks about how you can transform justice by treating people with dignity and respect and fairly. And while it's a very simple concept, one of the concepts is this idea of procedural justice, which says, again, if people believe they're treated that way, it increases the public's trust in the system, it increases people's compliance with the law as well as satisfaction with the justice system. I also talk about the importance of seeing people beyond your presumptions about them and the importance of hearing what people are saying. And sometimes people can go through an entire court case. And I know you mentioned your experience, and the judge never looks up at them.
Oh, no.
And how that makes you feel when you're
never made eye contact.
Yeah. That happened to you? Never made eye contact. I made a promise to myself that if I was going to send anyone to jail, if I was going to do anything that they might see as negative, that I would look them in the eye. And that's because if you don't, people feel like the judge did me dirty. The judge is not confident in what he knows. That's not fair. It's transactional. And if that's I couldn't look the person in the eye, I had to rethink what it was I was doing. So this book is about those things and how there are so many things that we could do. Youth court, how we need to create exit ramps for our young people. Youth courts are restorative justice projects across in New York. They're very popular, but also in Newark, where we train high school students to hear cases and we give officers an opportunity. They can do what's called station house adjustments. People don't know that there's this thing that an officer can bring a kid in, and instead of processing them through the justice system, they can send them to a nonprofit. Well, we have in Newark a youth court, and these high school students hear cases, and they sentence them, but they sentence them to community service and workshops. But we use positive peer pressure to change their behavior, because the kids who are doing well are doing community service with the same kids who are not doing well. But what's important is that that same kid who got in trouble for having marijuana in school, if the school district sends the case, they accept the punishment that the student sent, and they don't have to continue to suspend them to the point that they expel them from school. And it pulls them out of the justice system. And so we keep shirking our responsibility. Police officers learning how to treat people with dignity and respect. And I talk about this procedural justice in policing. I am so proud that they use my TED Talk at Police Academy, and I've been walking down the street and have an officer yell, "Oh, I saw your video," and I use all of those steps out here on the street, and I'm like, wow, how awesome it is to teach them as a foundation treating people with dignity and respect, as opposed to having to go back and inserting it as a correction.
I appreciate what you've written, because it exists in the space of positivity about how things can change. And there's a lot of essential literature out there that is about what is wrong, how we got here, and who the villains are. But this is, how do we get from there to beyond the horizon? The book is The Power of Dignity, How Transforming Justice Can Heal Our Communities. Judge Victoria Pratt, you are always welcome on the job fair. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to put up a little cardboard door here. Keep people...
Thank you,
Judge.
Thank you so much. Now I'm gonna get cornered in the city about who put up the cardboard box.
After the break, the homie Nerado, aka Rod for short, will drive the show off the rails. Job fair, we'll be back.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Jumping, we are back. And I do want to say, Jacqueline, a big thank you as always to Judge Victoria Pratt. Yes, who is just here on the program and give us a lot of knowledge about her book and criminal justice reform and her journey.
Help us.
We turn our attentions now to a man who is a Hypnotic and Grape Soda's number one customer. He is a former Dog Track employee and former Merrill Lynch intern. He is also the most liked person by the Comedy Central Viacom Paramount legal team.
That is very true. Right.
No notes.
Makes no sense.
On this man. No notes.
No sense.
All you can do is study brilliance, right? That's all you can do.
His biggest supporter remains Jacqueline's cousin.
His mama Which
named
one?
Him Rado. All of them. We call him Rod for short. Rod. Oh, real quick, man. We're gonna do another Rod's relationship fair. So let's just stop right now, Rod, before we get into topics that you're bringing today to break uh-huh. the ice. RoyceJobFair@gmail.com if you want to be a part of the relationship fair. For the next one we're gonna do in a few weeks. We want to hear stories of cheating abroad in the military. I found out from a military friend that apparently when troops get deployed, they go overseas and start banging. But the spouses of troops that are still here stateside, they be getting it in too. They
God
man,
bless
wait for you to get
America.
Deployed. Troops be fucking, the spouses be fucking, everybody be fucking, and I want to hear about your stories. If you took part in some of that banging or you know something that happened within your unit, we'll keep you anonymous. RoyceJobFair@gmail.com and we'll have Rod break down some of that indecent love in the workplace as we always do once a quarter. Rod, JG, I'm not talking to you. You defended the volleyball coach for ruining scholarships.
There goes that office.
Yeah, Jacqueline, we're going to put you down in the basement like Milton from Office Space.
But Rod defended her, too. Rod defended her, too.
We bring Rod on this program to give you, the Job Fair listener, topics you can bring up to your boring-ass co-workers who are always talking to you about the same whack shit that you don't want to discuss. So, Rod, I turn it over to you. What can people bring up this week at the JOB?
Right now, in Whiteville, USA, the hottest thing in the streets has been one of the biggest goofs I've ever seen a company make. Recently, the good folks at Ulta Beauty, the makeup store and whatnot, sent out a promotional email asking people to come hang with Kate Spade. And there was a huge blowback from their customers and some former employees, citing the fact that Kate Spade died by suicide from hanging in 2018, and that was absolutely the worst word choosing they could have gone with in this situation.
So come experience the new brand of Kate Spade fragrances at Ulta stores is ultimately what they were trying to say in a more concise way. And then they said,
come hang with Kate Spade.
See, that's why you don't put 21-year-olds in charge of marketing. But go ahead.
Come take a stab at this new O.J. Simpson fragrance.
Heads are going to fucking roll at that place. They are. I don't know how they're going to make up for this, but the meeting is going to be very severe, and a lot of people are about to get fucking fired.
Our new fragrance by David Carradine will choke you out. Respectfully, let me just say real quick, we're not making fun of any of these suicides. We're just making other analogies to the fact that you get what we're trying to do here, right? Okay, please don't cancel me. I need that goddamn Late Late Show job. So, Rod, how can Ulta make this right? Or is it just one of those things you just made the gap and you just got to eat it?
Yeah, it's a purely a mea culpa situation. All they can do is apologize because there's nothing you can say or offer people that will make up for opening an email and seeing that outrageous subject matter and headline. It's like Jacqueline said, this is the reason you don't put 21-year-olds in charge of marketing. There has to be some oversight. Yeah. Like, somebody has to run this by a couple people before they say let's go with it. And I don't understand how something like this could just slip through the cracks.
Because the VP of marketing's niece or nephew is in that position. There are no checks and balances at this particular company. There's some nepotism and lack of checks and balances here, one or the other. That is ridiculous and wrong.
Research, people. Google is for more than finding out your favorite actor's age, okay? Jesus Christ. But, do some research.
But then we have a generation also that's not made of critical thinkers. So even if they did the research.
Ooh, spit facts.
Okay, see, now you open another can.
She's right, though. Can.
Let's flip it up real quick, Rod.
Well, what's going on with black people right now is a story has been going around about how T-Pain demands that all strip clubs turn all TVs to the Cartoon Network when he enters. And a lot of people had some things to say about it, including
like a contractual.
Yeah, almost like that. Like, and so the story was that every time T-Pain goes to the strip club, they have to turn all the TVs to the Cartoon Network. And T-Pain chimed in also and said, quote, "In my defense, if I'm dropping thousands of dollars to see open vaginas and assholes, I don't really want my background entertainment to be friggin' baseball. Also, I only have them change the TVs that are in my private section. But whoever wrote this article thought it would be sound better if they made it sound like I forced everyone in the club to watch kid cartoons in an adult setting." Which brings me to my last point. Strip club times are also adult swim times. So Cartoon Network is just a channel, and Adult Swim is the lineup. Hope that clears everything up. I'm not an asshat. This headline is just another clickbaity thing gone viral, end quote.
Nobody, nobody gets better quotes than him.
I don't disagree with that. I do think, what would you watch in the strip club, Rod? If you was in VIP, what would you want on the TV?
The exit sign, because I wouldn't be in the fucking strip club.
Anti-Semitic. Right.
Very anti-strip clubs. Very anti-Semitic. I would not watch any.
What if they got good wings, right? What if the wings is good?
I mean, strip clubs do have bomb food because they got to keep you from leaving.
That's all I'm saying.
But, nah, I don't want to see anything on the TV. I don't want to see a strip club at all, honestly.
What if I went to the strip club and told them to put on the Daily Show?
That's hilarious.
Is there going to be a morality clause in your late contract?
Jacqueline, you'll be more... Jacqueline, if I got that show and you work for me, you are more than free to go to the strip club. Podcast is Uncle Rod's Story Corner. You can get it wherever you get this fine podcast. Rod, scam of the week time. Roy's Job Fair at gmail.com. If you ever want to be a part of the program, I feel like I don't mention it enough, but somehow people still find us. I guess that's an honor, or should I be creeped out?
No, it's an honor. It's totally nice to have people join us.
Yeah, I mean, but if I don't solicit and then all of a sudden people just randomly just be sending you, how you find me?
You're producing a good show. Hello.
I'm about to say that. And then they find all the rest of us too. So it's crazy that not only, you know, they find you, they should find you. You on Comedy Central. Yeah. You got three specials and some on Paramount Plus. But the rest of
that's
us,
fair.
You know what I'm saying? So Jacqueline got videos on YouTube. I'm a comic. Huh? None of my views have increased. However, people will find us. People will find us. Twitter, Facebook, all of that, man, been finding us. So
they did. They did. Someone sent us coffee. Because they said we're the People's Podcast, the People's Cup Michael Roastery. They sent us coffee. I'll make sure I share it to everyone.
What kind of coffee?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't open it yet. It's a gift for all of us.
Crack it open. Let me
know. I'm about to say open it. It's a gift for all of us. You're right.
Wait, hang on. This sounds like good coffee. You said roastery.
Yes. I did. People's Cup Micro Roastery. It's in Starkville, Mississippi.
I'll give it to Salone because she's got the coffee grinding bean machine and whatever. Like, I don't know how to do fresh coffee.
I don't have the devices
for what you're talking about. I don't even have the devices necessary to drink that. I'm sure you and Third do, and I'm happy that they sent it, but
you know, ask them if they know somebody, if the liquor store up the street want to send me some whiskey.
What? Or like
that. I'm on that bun, B-Dog.
You're going to get moonshine in Mississippi, but go ahead.
Even better, motherfucker. Just shit. That sounds like an upgrade.
Send it.
Threaten me. JG, I understand that we're talking about animals for this scam. Who do we have on the phone?
We have Taylor, and Taylor resides in the Bay Area and works for a green tech company. But back in 2017, she worked at a doggy daycare in Santa Monica that wealthy and celebrity clients paid up to $700 a month to have their dogs attend. Taylor's going to tell us about some of the luxury amenities these four-legged creatures indulged in.
Taylor, welcome aboard the job fair. Congrats on your upgrade to Silicon Valley there.
Yes, thanks for having me. Thanks.
Sorry you don't have to scoop Paris Hilton's Chihuahua's dog shit anymore.
Right. Yeah, tell just me. My own dogs.
What is that? Is there anything, because I'm not going to say that pet hotels are a scam, but here's my question third. How do you know that they're really doing the stuff that they say that they're going to do for your dog? You can't ask the dog. They don't give you no video. So
there's very little oversight.
Oh,
Yeah. Very little oversight in the daycare industry. And like, there's very little laws. Some daycares offer a webcam so you can like peek in them while they're playing at daycare. But that, you know, that's not 24/7 when they're in their like rooms for snacks or meals or whatever other nefarious things are going on in the back. Which is why I, you know, as a previous employee for 2 years at a daycare, I wouldn't take my dog unless they like were extremely transparent, let me go through the facility. You know, a lot of doggy daycares will ask you to wait out front while they assess your dog. I would say that you should be allowed to see the back of the facility. If you are hovering over an assessment where like they're trying to evaluate your dog in an external environment, then it probably is better for you to like make sure at least you can't be seen while they're assessing your dog. But there's nothing wrong with like being able to watch them.
Are these pet hotels really doing all of the stuff that they say they're going to do? Like, you know, I dated a person who had a dog and we were getting ready to leave town and like, well, they every day they read to them and then they give them a paw massage and we're gonna feed them a keto diet or whatever the like is any of does any of that hold true like from a diet let's just go diet
she we mentioned that the daycare was on the west side, so like Santa Monica, Westwood, that area is like where all the clients are. A lot of these people are vegan and they would like to extend that diet to their dog to be vegan.
Come on.
A vegan dog.
It's not my business, whatever. But people would like, especially the celebrity clients who come in, their dog probably lives at the daycare more than they live at their house.
Oh, no.
And it's a lot of times it's those dogs where they're like, oh, we're trying this new food. Can you make sure you implement it into their meal? And this dog will not eat that shit. Like, it's not happening. You'll keep trying. And it's like, well, I'm not going to not feed this dog that's here 20 days out of the month, like while you're boarding. So we're going to make sure your dog eats. And that's not to say, you know, it's your dog. If you want to have a vegan diet, maybe just make sure you're there to like, be the one monitoring it, because typical doggy daycare, there's like, there can be 90 dogs in a facility in one day.
So 90 times 700. Okay, I'm doing some math. So if the company is making good money, how much are the employees making, Taylor?
Minimum wage.
That ain't right.
What you thought, Jacqueline?
I mean, you want me to care for this dog appropriately, so I need to be cared for appropriately as well as an employee.
But it's a celebrity dog, too. So, like, not only do you want me to take care of this dog, some, I don't know. I used to live out in Santa Monica, yo. Like, people that have a bit role in a porn and talk to you hella crazy about their dog. Like,
There are like clients that will bring their dogs in for an assessment, and if we fail their dog, they get, you know, upset. Like there's some, I demand to let my dog be admitted to this daycare when, like, you know, we tried your dog and they were very aggressive and what, probably not the best fit.
What constitutes a dog failing the assessment? Like he nips at another dog, he fucking doesn't sit, he doesn't listen.
It could
to
also
you.
Be like the dog is just too scared. When I did assessments, I would fail those dogs. Like, I don't want a dog that's like terrified in the corner all day. Like, that can't be comfortable for your dog. And being, I've also worked like on the yard as an attendant, those dogs, it's like, it's very sad. And it's also overwhelming.
Okay.
Just on one dog side, there's like 40 dogs on the busiest day. 40 dogs, one dog handler.
How the fuck is this legal? Like, you can't have more than like 10 kids per two adult. Like, the ratio is like fucking bananas. But okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
At our highest capacity.
So what about your beach days and the hike schedules for these dogs? How is that supposed to work out? Or how did that work out?
Where are you walking them?
Yeah.
A hike schedule?
So,
yes.
Yeah. So we had a dog taxi.
What?
Fucking LA is such a fucking another world.
A dog taxi. So I would, you know, I would be the first one at the daycare in the morning that's not like a dog attendant. You grab the keys, you see like who's on your list for pickups that day. And then I'll spend my morning like driving through Santa Monica and the Palisades, like picking up very high profile dogs. And then sometimes the dogs get taxied to daycare. Sometimes they get taxied to the beach and they'll spend like 2 hours. Just they have to be like good off leash.
No, I was going to say, did you have to take care of the dog social too when you were doing all this? Like, did you have to make sure they got good shots for the gram if they were like at the beach or something like that?
This is so unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. You did. You know, this blows my mind, Roy. Hold on, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me like some of your celebrity dogs had like they on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat?
Well, so I didn't manage their social media, but like that's another thing. Is you're at the daycare, you're supposed to provide report cards, and then they like encourage employees to get really cute pictures that are used on the daycare's Instagram, which are also shared with celebrities who often have their own Instagram for their dog. I can think of a famous Food Network chef who's got an Instagram account for her pets. She would use a lot of those pictures.
Down South Georgia girl, get on that right now. Start with Pop Malakshmi and work your way from there. We're going to find this person before the end of this episode. Taylor, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this.
Of course.
And thank you for being a witness.
Yes. Of
course.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Job fair, bringing it home. Now, I had a friend, like you know, when I get excited on the show, Third, is when we have a job, when we have someone to explain a job that you don't think about every day, and then you go, oh, wait, yeah, that is a job. Somebody has to do that. You have to hire somebody to do that job. I had a friend in college who got hired from a career fair. He was a poet. And he got hired to write greeting cards.
Word?
And I'm like, yeah, but then when you think about it, somebody got to write it.
And it's got to be somebody that's good with words. What's it called, JG? Prose? Is that the official literary? Is that the word?
It sounds like, it sound like a job a white person would go to school for. Like, their parents would get upset over. Like, Dad, I want to write greeting cards.
Yeah, but see, greeting cards have gotten so much more specific and so much more culturally unique.
True.
So that they are more effectual to the people that are reading them. JG, who do we have on the phone?
We welcome Alexis Kerr to the show. And she is the vice president of Mahogany Brand at Hallmark. Mahogany has been deepening the emotional connection among Black families, friends, and loved ones for over 30 years through their inclusive greeting cards. And I want to add, Roy, that in her role, Alexis is responsible for elevating how consumers see and experience the brand, as well as expanding it into digital spaces and even television later this year.
Oh, that's dope. Goodness gracious, Alexis, welcome to the job, fan. Chief Vice President, that's the corporate suite.
Corporate music time. Hit it, Roy, go.
Thank you so much for coming on the job fair. Now, your job is something, that, there is a bit of a social responsibility to what you do.
There's a lot to it. I think before I started here at Hallmark, I spent 20 years. I don't look that way, but I spent over 20 years in automotive. I started selling cars to my last role was head of multicultural marketing at Cadillac. So I have the opportunity to travel the world, create customer experiences in the Middle East.
You sold Escalades?
Yes, I sold a lot of Escalades, specifically to Black and brown people.
You said you sold Escalades to the Middle East?
Saudi Arabia. It's been 70 years in the Middle East. GMC, like that brand has been around forever. So I love, personally, iconic brands. Hallmark's over 100 years, and when you go from that high end, the Escalade of cards are Hallmark cards. Mm-hmm. So I've loved leveraging the power of words, making sure I can touch community and connect, especially during a time like COVID. It has just been incredible. Who would have known, like you said, Roy, who knows that there's a job for a vice president to lead an iconic brand, but more importantly, like the ways in which we're engaging community, that's what's exciting, that's what's dope. And that's, you know, which really keeps me encouraged.
And that's where I want to start this conversation, because when we talk about, you know, my mother is a Hallmark person. She only gets her cars from Hallmark. She gets the little seals that y'all include.
Gold to close seal. Up
the, the back of the
crown.
Is that what it's called? See, I didn't even know the official name. I just call it the envelope sticker. She's like, no, baby, I go to Hallmark and I get my, she'll send me back.
So that's the mark. That's the seal. That crown is the mark. So you would know back in the day that it was a Hallmark card because of that marker, that seal, that gold seal, the mark.
Oh, I know it's unique because I tried to sneak and just buy some shit at Walgreens. And my mom was like, uh-uh, babe, you got to go back to the, you got to go get the official from the Hallmark store.
Yes. Now there's Hallmark and Walgreens, so you just may have skipped over the selection.
Oh no, I was
nowadays
on the supply aisle. I was just buying stickers next to the stationery.
No, we don't do that. It's a hashtag
When we talk about speaking to a particular culture through the written word, there's something sincere about seeing words on paper. It does not hit like a text. It does not hit like an email. There's something about the tactile, the tangibleness of that. What specifically, what is it that you believe makes a greeting card Black? Or what is it that specifically makes this something that is unique to the Black experience versus another greeting card in another section of the card
Yeah, so great question. First of all, the cool thing is like there's a Hispanic line, there's a Jewish line, there's an Asian line, and then there's Mahogany. So there are other lines for other cultural IDs or identities. So that's exciting. But there's a number of things that make a Hallmark Mahogany card. So the first thing is people think of Mahogany as the words and that essence, and all of that is true. But those deep words that are not just placating off culture, not just slang, it is not slang. It's vernacular that resonates with you, but really that keeps you. So it's not, you know, saying just random, in culture, faux culture, placating culture words, they're really ones that reminisce mama. So, you know, that other than mother and mom, mama is what we say, grandma, some of those type of words that really connect with our community. So the biggest thing is words. The second is really the art. So it's really that editorial piece that puts the words together with the art. So when you see the card, you see you. You know, that's the biggest piece. It's not, I see a reflection of me. I see what could have been me. A lot of these cards started because Black and brown people were like coloring in cards to make the people on the covers black or brown or look like them or red. Facts. Or black. But that's how we started. And then the words started to resonate, not just with Black people. Like if you saw some of these Valentine's Day cards, I mean, they are exciting. And it's not just Black and brown people that are buying them. Those love cards, that sentiment is grabbing you. It's spicy, a little bit on the edge, a little bit of tantalizing, but we're not giving the whole thing away. So that, like, is what makes a mahogany card.
There's nuance in the design of the cards. Just for an example here, thank you, Down South Georgia Girl, for these two links. Like, you know, if you were getting your wife a card third, and normally pre-mahogany, it would just, you go to the wife tab in the card aisle and just pick one of them wife cards. But then the mahogany card is for my wife to love a Black woman. Mm. And it's a Black woman with a crown. Mm. And then inside it's whatever, whatever. Then they have one, thank God for grandmama. And it's some wonderful words and prose written in there. But the little nuance, they have grandma holding a church fan with the little ice cream stick stapler.
Yeah. There we go.
With the white church hat. So it's like, that is what a Black grandmama looked like. A right. Black grandmama got the fan with the funeral home ad on the backside.
I love it.
Yeah, this year, the second year of my leadership, we really want to move into those new spaces. So we were at Versus last year. This year, we want to be at much bigger spaces where nice. Black and brown women are at. We want that energy that Jacqueline has, and we want that newer, younger generation. So that way we can kind of tarry with you. You know, the consumers that we have today, our boomers, they've been with us for 30 years since they were our age. And now we're looking for their children and grandchildren to love and know and be accustomed to the brand. So we're coming out with new products. They are tote bags. They're just more fanny packs.
Okay.
We're working with Black and brown small business owners, Melissa Butler at the Lip Bar, so we can come up with, hey, here's a new mahogany collection.
Hallmark got some Jordans coming out, maybe some Air Force
Ones.
We
don't have Jordans.
I was on that as you was telling me what you was, like, you was just leading out, you was rolling me right down the path. I was like, would mahogany necessarily make cards, for example, to celebrate the day that somebody might get their legalization card in a state that's legal, like, for Black people?
So there's enough generic cards with messages that you could, and I was just on the phone with some of the creators. What we're doing with our cards are not making specific messages for birthday, for graduation, for whatever you want to celebrate third. We have cards that have this generic message on the outside, still resonating with the community. On the inside, you can talk about whatever that outside looks good, the words, and we're leaving them blank inside so you can celebrate all of those moments. Because those are real moments, third, for our community. They don't all look like I graduated from college. I did this. I'm 7 months sober. I'm a year sober. I'm a year out of XYZ. Nice. I mean, those are the real things that are impacting our community.
Now, the next thing we need to expand to is the white ally mahogany line for white people with Black friends. And you're like, you are my Black friend.
It doesn't exactly say that, but I will say you would be surprised, like, how many non-Black people, over, you know, 30% of our clientele who buy mahogany cards are not Black people. So his Asian,
nice.
because what you have to remember is that Black culture leads culture, and that voice in which I want to talk to you, that's real, that's relevant, that's resonant, that voice that's speaking to Jacqueline, Roy, and you the third, that's the same voice that speaks to Emily, where she's like, oh, those words resonate. So we have a large population of our consumers that are not African-American.
So what goes into the portfolio, though? Okay, yeah, I get what you're saying with all of that. You're right, because if you're Black, you can write to a lot of different cultures, because even if you aren't a Black woman, you've had a Black mother.
you've had a black sister, you had a black grandmama, so you could kind of figure out what to, how to put the words together. So if I'm submitting a portfolio to Mahogany.com to try and get one of these positions you're talking about, what are you looking for?
So I think there's probably three good things that are in the recipe. One is a track record of really being able to write. And write doesn't mean just being a poet. Write is a card, is written, has to be written from a perspective of 10,000 people have to take a card and be able to, I have to have the sentiment in the card. That has to make sense for you, Rory, as I give it to you. And you have to read it and say, oh, this made sense coming. So it has to be shared by at least 10,000 people going both ways. So that's first. So having a track record for writing for a broad audience with a unique message that will resonate again and again and again and again. So that's the one piece. Two, for artists, that piece, artists I'm using, visual artists, painters, creators, just the portfolio of the work that they've done. Some people send the portfolio of the work that they've done with other brands. We most recently, maybe a month ago, we hired somebody to be one of our visual artists who works on everything social. So they may not know how to write, but they can do editorial copy. So they can put together editorial copy with mantras when you see on social, keep your head up, sis, or what have you. That's not something we would have, but something like that. But it would have a track record of other things that they've done in and around the field. And I think three, then it's really just how do you articulate and communicate using some of the language that we leverage in the business. I think that piece is one of the most underlooked piece, understanding the culture of the company and presenting that back in your interview. So again, it's the portfolio of whatever the work you've done over expand of working for a company and or doing some freestyling kind of out of the box type work, but putting it all in a really good portfolio. I can't stress a really good portfolio, but the bigger piece to me is being able to articulate that in an interview, understanding the hallmark culture. How should you frame up your conversation when you're talking? What seems aggressive? What's going to come across? Are you articulating your artistic side? Mm. Are you leveraging the power of words in your interview so that I know that you can write? Mm. What type of vernacular are you using? How are you showing up and showing out? I think those are the things that a lot of people don't talk about, but those things are really important in general when you're thinking about getting a job. The culture is the biggest piece of filling in a lot of the blank.
That's that Kamala talk right there. I see you. I ain't mad.
Mm. She is the VP. Mahogany.com is the website, Hallmark.com as well. I'm going to read off as we let you go, Alexis. I got three things in my portfolio I just put together. I'm going to try real quick to see if I got what it takes to be a Mahogany card writer for you real quick. And I'm going to just give you a couple lines of these cards. I have not finished these thoughts yet, but I just want you to tell me whether or not I'm going in the right direction and whether or not my portfolio would be considered for, moving on to the next round.
To the next round, okay.
To the next round.
Because the pivot is real. The pivot is real. Handle it, bro.
All right, first card. Damn, baby, you sure is looking good. Your booty came in the room before you did.
What? Okay, no. No.
Thank you.
So we don't want to talk about any of her personal physical attributes.
Okay. That's my bad.
We don't want to start off with the damn. We don't want to do that. Because remember, 10,000 people got to feel that way. Now, what you could do is, that might be what you write on the inside of the card. And maybe the outside of the card is, it's
I can feel your presence.
Yeah. Now we're cooking.
Okay, second card.
Okay.
Second one in my portfolio. Hey, baby, let me borrow your car for a couple of days.
Okay, so now you get into more neutral. There could be
That felt fair. That's making a request.
I felt like, yeah.
So maybe the outside of the card says something generic. What are you thinking generic, Rory? Let's push it.
Car,
I can't wait to see you.
But, .. And then you open it.
Yes. Can I borrow your car?
Can I borrow your car to come see you?
Oh.
Yeah, again, this same message too can be handwritten in only your handwriting. Take a picture. We can upload it in the card and get it sent off. And the price is right.
You say that the Mahogany brand is all about the culture of blackness across the diaspora. I've been very specific to say black, not African-American. Mm-hmm. This is blackness from the Caribbean up to England, on across to Africa, coming on back to South Carolina. Now, if there's one issue that I think extends across the diaspora, it's this next one. You say you got to hit 10,000 people. I know this is my last one for my portfolio.
Appreciate it.
Hired at Mahogany. Grandmama, you can't cook. Please stop cooking.
Oh, my God.
We don't want you to cook the dressing this year. Ever since Granddaddy died, your dressing's been trash.
Oh, my God. Now, you know what?
Because this is serious. Some grandmamas can't cook, and the family don't know how to tell them. This is okay. A card that I've cultivated for you,
Roy,
to tell your grandmama.
I think out of all of them.
Wow.
This one is getting closer to home. The reason why I say that is because maybe the outside says, you can't eat everybody's potato salad. And then on the inside.
Mm. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. And on the inside, you put that. And you know what? Thinking about the generation, Roy, this may be something you want to whisper in Nana's ear. This ain't nothing you want to put in writing.
See?
You got to think of a card is something that Nana's going to put on top of. Sit somewhere. It's a proud representation.
Yeah, on the fireplace.
That's
next
personal.
To the Steve Harvey pictures. Yes.
That's personal. You want to whisper that in her ear when you fold up a $100 bill and you tuck it in there, you squeeze it tight and say, Grandma, we might want to pass on a potato salad.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I like the way you think, because with that old school generation, you don't want to leave them any kind of written evidence.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because that old school, every time you come over to the house, you're going to have that hand extended for you. Like, remember what you wrote in that card? Remember right here? You remember what you wrote in that card, right? Don't come over here and talk about you hungry.
That may be the last memory she has of you, and you don't want that.
It's not my fault she died after cooking some whack-ass dressing. How is that my fault? Look, the website is mahogany.com.
Mahogany.com. And Instagram. I need y'all to follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
At Hallmark Mahogany.
She is the vice president of Mahogany Brands at Hallmark. Alexis, thank you so much for coming on the job.
Thanks y'all for having me.
That was dope.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you all. That's the show. Roy's Job Fair is a product of Paramount, South Park and Princeton Productions, and Comedy Central. We did it, man. Next week, we're going to do a special Mother's Day episode. We're going to round up some of the best mothers who have come on the show. And I think somewhere in there, I might try and do a Mother's Day theme song. You know, I might try and write something. I'm going to do a Mother's Day song next week.
Y'all already have my daddy. I ain't getting my mama on here, man. My mama is vicious. I can't deal with that. She'll hold this shit over my head forever.
We're going to play old guests, because there's a couple of people that I want to highlight and amplify. Getting my mom on this podcast, it's a heavy lift.
You can't have two mamas named Joyce in the same place, bro. Two black mamas named Joyce in the same place ain't going to work out well for either one of us.
We have to focus on them now for Family Week in December at the end of the year. We need to start buttering them up.
Yeah, I agree.
For Family Week. So it'll be fun, man.
That way she'll say something.
Thank you so much
to
all our guests. Yes. I'm going to go brush up on my portfolio. JG, I thought that you would have supported me in one of those three cards that I wrote. But as usual, you leave me hanging.
No. I think it's important to note that Alexis is a senior VP, a vice president, because she did not deplate you. She encouraged you and corrected you. That's why she holds that position.
We're here to uplift and empower our black brothers. We got a card for that.
I like that.
That's
like
the
that.
Show.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.